Across our region, there are thousands of children in the local court systems because of abuse, neglect, and other family issues. As they navigate the challenges of a shifting family life, multiple professionals involved in their case, and feelings of fear, desperation, or confusion, it can be difficult to know what steps and outcomes will be best for that child. It can be difficult to truly hear their voice in the process. That's where a CASA volunteer steps in. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Craig Pfeiffer, a CASA volunteer with SCAN's Alexandria Arlington Court-Appointed Special Advocate, or CASA, program. Thank you for joining us today, Craig.
Thanks for having me.
Today we'll discuss the role CASA volunteers can play in speaking up for a child in the system, as well as some specific needs the program currently has for male and bilingual volunteers. So, Craig, let's start by just talking about what the CASA program is. How would you describe the program?
Well, a CASA, or a court-appointed special advocate, is appointed by a juvenile court judge in a case involving abuse or neglect. And really, the way I think of a CASA volunteer is as the eyes and ears of the judge. The judge obviously can't go out and investigate every case himself or herself. And so they rely on the CASA volunteers to get to know the families, the children, other caregivers, relatives, and friends who are involved in the case, teachers, social workers, doctors, and really anybody else who's relevant to the case. And over the course of the time that the CASA gets to know the family, he or she will write a report that is submitted to the judge in advance of the next hearing. And it's on the basis of the report that very often the judge is able to make a decision about what's in the best interest of the child. These cases are civil in nature, so the focus is on the child, not so much on the adults involved. There may be other civil or criminal matters pending for the adults, but the CASA is really focused on what's in the best interest of the child. And by getting a full picture of what's going on, the CASA can make a recommendation about whether the child should stay with the biological parents, should be placed with another relative, should eventually be placed with a foster family, or sometimes an adoptive family.
Great description. So tell us why you became a CASA volunteer.
Well, I learned about CASA in the course of learning about some other nonprofit organizations and trying to think about how I might be able to get involved and volunteer. And there are so many great opportunities to volunteer in our area and a lot of worthy organizations. But when I learned about CASA, it was very interesting to me because it's a program that I didn't know even existed. And I think it's really one of the best kept secrets in the nonprofit world here in our area. And it seemed to connect a lot of dots for me, learning more about some of the behind the scenes systems that help children in our community, the need for volunteers who have the ability to be objective and to draw good conclusions, but still interact with people and navigate the system. And it just really more than anything else seemed like a great need. And there are a lot of ways that you can volunteer on a sort of one-at-a-time basis, go in for a day or do something, or go in periodically or do something. This is a kind of volunteer role where you really get involved in a family's life for an extended period of time. And not everybody has the ability to do that or the time to do that. And so I thought if this was something I could do, it was something I should do.
Great. And so you've been a CASA volunteer for about 5 years.
Right. I just finished my third case. Most cases take about a year in duration, some a little bit longer, some a little bit shorter. And over the course of the year, you go through a series of hearings that are designed to identify the issues in the case and make sure that the children are safe and find out where the children should be living and hopefully to remedy whatever situation is going on so that the children can return to their biological parents if that is safe and healthy for them to do, and if not, to find the best alternative for the children. So this usually takes about a year to play out, and I've had three cases, the first with two little boys, the second with a newborn baby, and the third with three little boys. So a variety of different family dynamics and ages and locations.
Great. And we mentioned at the top of the show that our program serves Alexandria and Arlington court systems, but there are other CASA programs in our region.
That's right. There's also a CASA program for D.C. There's one for Fairfax and Prince William County in Virginia and Montgomery and Prince George's counties in Maryland. All of the programs are similar in nature. They have some slight nuances of difference between them, but they're all similar, certainly in their mission, which is to try to make recommendations that are in the best interest of the children and see that the children wind up in a healthy, safe home.
And we should mention that if someone's interested in learning more about becoming a CASA, they can go to the National CASA Organization's website and plug in their zip code, either where you live or work, and find the CASA program that's close to them. Let's talk about how someone goes about becoming a CASA volunteer. What's involved with that?
Well, the first thing to do is to just say that you're interested. Call up your local CASA program or go through the website, and you'll find out what the specific procedure is in that community. But generally speaking, you will do an interview to make sure that this is likely to be a good fit for you. You can ask questions. You can find out what is required of volunteers. The staff has an idea of your background. And assuming that everything looks good, then there's a lot of training involved. And before you would expect to do something this intensive, you would want to know what you're doing, and you'd want to have some sense of the laws and procedures involved, the best practices involved, what's expected of you, what is not expected of you. So I did about 30 hours of training, which is spread out over a number of different evenings, and then court observation with an existing CASA and a case supervisor. And I think the whole process probably took about 2 months of training and the court observation. At the end was a panel interview, again, to make sure that this is going to be a good fit, that the CASA is comfortable and that the staff is comfortable. And then you're given your first case. There's a lot that you learn in the training session that is obviously very critical, but there's also a lot that you learn as you go. And the case supervisors, who are full-time employees, are really wonderful resources and are there the whole time with you. So, either in person or in spirit, depending on the situation. And so you never really feel like you're alone. In the case, there are always other resources to help you. And if you have a question about something, there's always your case supervisor. The CASA, the other CASAs also create a sense of community and often can bounce ideas off of each other for general best practices and things like that. So there's a really good support structure. And because the CASA deals with so much sensitive and confidential information, this isn't the type of volunteer experience that you can always discuss with other people. You certainly can't get into case specifics, but even if you talk about generalities, it might not really resonate with somebody who hasn't done it. So there's a great support structure and a great community that you join when you become a CASA that makes it a lot easier for you to be successful.
And we talked about the fact that we're currently sort of pushing for bilingual, bicultural, and male volunteers in particular. Talk about why that might be important.
Well, the biggest thing that I learned coming out of the training and dealing with my first case is that there are a lot of different family situations, and the diversity of culture and of upbringing and of traditions and religions and socioeconomic situations. It just creates a lot of different family dynamics. And you can often be more successful when you can relate to some of those. It's important to recognize that you won't always relate to the way that another family has been brought up, and that doesn't make their situation wrong. It just makes it different than yours. But certainly if you have some commonalities, it might be easier to work with the family to gain their trust and to help them be successful. So sometimes it's easier for a male volunteer to work with male children, or a female volunteer to work with female children, or male volunteers and male parents and female volunteers and female parents. It's obviously important to be able to communicate. So if you can speak the language that the family speaks without the need for a translator, it can make everybody a lot more comfortable, and you don't miss some of the nuances in discussion that can be important to understanding what's going on. There are families located in different parts of Arlington and Alexandria, but there are also relevant participants in the case who might be located elsewhere. So having the ability to get around or having a flexible work schedule can also be important. Most of our cases do not involve a significant disruption to a regular full-time job, but some cases are more complicated, and having a mix of people who work and people who are retired or who are working part-time is also important to give the staff flexibility to assign those types of cases. And some volunteers are more sensitive about a certain type of abuse or neglect and would prefer not to participate in that kind of case, which is fine, but it also means that we need a variety of different kinds of volunteers with different sensitivities so that there's always enough volunteers for each type of case.
Great. Thanks, Craig. You talked about what the program is and the value for the kids involved, as well as the support structure for the volunteer. Let's finish by talking about sort of what a volunteer might gain from the experience of being a CASA. Are there personal and professional skills that one learns through that process?
I think for me, one of the things that I get out of CASA is a reminder to be objective and open-minded in a situation, to put aside my own personal experiences and biases. And I think that while that is critical in CASA, it's also a helpful skill, if you will, to practice for a lot of situations in life, whether in your professional life or in your personal life. CASA also forces you to be organized, to take good notes, to write reports that are based on facts that you can justify and cite. And that kind of organization is also useful in other areas of life. And it also is a way for you to help participate in, a greater good, which I think is always a great opportunity in life.
Wonderful. We're about finished with our interview this morning. Was there a final message you wanted to leave with our listeners today?
I think for me, the biggest takeaway from CASA is this. It's a little cliche to say it takes a village to raise a child, but when you participate in the CASA program, you really see that village at work. You're working side by side with judges, with social workers, with teachers, with doctors, and of course with families who in many cases are trying to do the right thing but need some help. And everybody working together and having so many different people throughout the community taking interest in the life of one child is really touching. It's really heartwarming and makes me proud to be a part of that.
Wonderful. Being a CASA volunteer is not your average volunteer experience. Both the time required and the intensity of the experience require a special level of commitment and a special person. But the impact these volunteers have on some of the most at-risk children in our system can be incredible. CASA volunteers might be the one adult they know that is entirely focused on the child and the child's needs, giving them a voice when they need it most. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Craig Pfeiffer for joining me to talk about CASA and how more individuals can get involved in the program. Remember, every child and family matters. We all play a critical role in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about volunteering with the CASA program or to find a local program in your area, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.